Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Peter, for your kind and gracious words introducing the task that the Lord has given me today. And it is my privilege to be able to bring the word that the Lord has laid on my heart and to tie it in to taking communion at the end of the message. These are amazing days in which we live, and drawing closer to the Lord is something that we all need to be having our focus as we come and worship the Lord, as we come and sit under his word. Hallelujah. Just recently, David preached a message called His Witness in Action, about how our personal testimony of how we came to know Jesus is a most important part of sharing Jesus with others. And it caused me to think about being ready in season and out of season, whether we feel like it or don't feel like it, because opportunities spring up sometimes when we are least expecting them. But I need to be able to give an account of the hope that I have, that hope whose name is Jesus. And Peter has also been preaching on the importance of knowing the season in which we live. And as we clearly see the signs pointing to the Lord's imminent return to take his bride home, then we must be seeking the Lord for that intimate relationship with him and the increasing opportunities to share Jesus with others. I love this verse from 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you, but do it courteously and respectfully. Isn't that a wonderful word? Ready to give an account of the hope, but doing it with love. I want to share this morning how Christmas time impacted my life and is a big part of my testimony and how I came to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So it's part of a testimony that the Lord may get me to share with others. I don't know, but it was a real blessing this week as I prepared to think about all that the Lord had done and have that fresh in my mind for any opportunity that might come my way. And I'm trusting too this morning that the Holy Spirit will prompt some thoughts for you, especially at this time of the year when we're looking to share Jesus with friends and family. I grew up in a small town about an hour north of Wellington, a very small town, and we lived one road back from the beach. A few minutes from my home was a little Anglican church. It was originally built during World War II by American soldiers as a simple gathering place for relaxation. It was right next door to the local motor camp. However, in the 1950s, it had become our little local place of worship. Many families in those days didn't have cars, and we were no different, so walking to church on Sunday morning was part of my upbringing. I remember going to Sunday school in a little cupboard, a little storeroom that was off to one side of the hall, and there I learnt stories about Jesus. I'd been given a Bible for my 8th birthday, and it was a very precious gift. As I grew older, I remember being invited each year to read passages of Scripture at a special midweek Christmas service in this little church. I used to practice these verses at home so I could read them fluently when it was my turn. I loved the Christmas hymns and the pictures that they conjured up in my mind of the birth of Jesus Christ. My mother played the piano, and we would often gather round and sing carols prior to Christmas, and my brother and I would sometimes dress up as characters from the Christmas story. Around this time also, I went to a church-run school holiday program while staying with an aunt in Wellington. I have a vague recollection of responding at the end of a session and being prayed for. I'm not sure whether that was a moment where in my youth I gave my life to the Lord, but it's certainly something that was important to me at that time. And as I look back, I can clearly see how wonderful the Lord was because he had his hand on me from a very young age. I would describe my younger self as having a tender heart towards Jesus. Even then, he gave me the gift of faith to believe that he was who he said he was, so I never had any difficulty with accepting him. As I grew up and I moved away from my small hometown, I still longed in my heart for the simplicity of that little church, and the thought of it brought comfort to my soul. I sought for this in midweek meetings in a Wellington church, but only found an outreach to homeless men and yoga classes. I attended it once and never went back. At Teachers College, I met two friends during our time together who both became Christians. These are still long-standing friends to this day. And my brother also gave his life to Christ. I was now aware that there was more to being a Christian than just knowing the stories of Jesus and being blessed by his birth and his ministry on earth. From this came two major things that the Holy Spirit made me aware of. Firstly, I needed to become born again and wholeheartedly follow Jesus. And secondly, Jesus was coming again. He was coming to take those wholehearted followers, his bride, back to heaven with him. I'd never been taught that, and that knowledge was overwhelming for me. And those two major things, that I needed to be born again and that Jesus was returning, demanded a response from me. By this stage, I'd met Peter, and the thought whirled around in my head, what would he think if I became a Christian? The Anglican minister who married us in my small hometown was a born-again Christian who shared the gospel with us both when we went to ask him if he'd take our wedding. Deep in our hearts, we knew that we needed to make that decision to follow Jesus. But soon we were newly married and the cricket season came around and we never made it to church that summer. A few months later, I knew I couldn't hold out any longer against the urgency of the Holy Spirit in my heart to become born again. I decided that I couldn't put it off any longer. I needed to give my life to Christ. After a series of amazing God incidences where God was so gracious in what and who came across our paths, we found ourselves at Valley Road Baptist Church in Mount Eden, just around the road from where we lived at the time. The church had been recommended to us by the vicar who married us as a live church where people were being saved. So on the 6th of May 1973, over 50 years ago, we wept our way to salvation after responding to an altar call. We knelt on the floor of the pastor's office after an evening service and thus began our journey with the Lord. God is so incredibly patient and faithful. I can see so clearly now how he guided and led me and made amazing things come together that left that choice to me, that choice to Peter and I to become born-again Christians. And even though as a child I didn't understand fully his word, I realized that I'd developed a love for that little Bible with its little illustrations. And I just had a heart that was tender and soft towards him. And I realized that my love for the Lord had started through the miracles and the stories of Jesus' first advent. The time when Jesus came down to earth, Emmanuel, God with us. This morning I want simply to look at the prophecies and the biblical account of the birth of Jesus that so impacted my life. Today is as good a day as any to revisit these, And it might just be what you need to hear this morning, because you could well have opportunities to talk with family and friends over the next few days. Many of you will be aware that December 25th is not the date of Jesus' birth. The Bible doesn't give us an exact date. If God wanted us to know, he would have told us, but it's not there. But as we look afresh at the prophecies that were spoken hundreds of years prior, that were fulfilled exactly as Scripture said they would be, it will make us even more in awe of God's precision, purposes and plans. Sadly, as we are all aware, the celebration of the birth of Jesus has been hijacked, commercialised, distorted, and in many places even lost. Yet it's all an attempt of the enemy to dismiss the extreme significance of the time that Jesus was born. So let's look at the ultimate authority on this matter, the Word of God. Scripture reveals the promise of the coming Messiah, and Scripture records the fulfillment of these promises. We will see again and again that God is trustworthy and his promises will come to pass. And that means that we can apply that same unswerving trust to him to fulfill what is yet to come. So let's look at some of the prophetic promises that came to pass. Around 690 BC, Isaiah is God's prophet, and he records a number of amazing things. I'm just going to share a couple of them this morning. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Some 8 centuries before Jesus was born, the city of Jerusalem was being threatened from enemies without and within. Now that sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it? Isaiah the prophet, at God's command, attempts to reassure Ahaz, Judah's frightened king, that the city would be divinely delivered. The young king refused to accept that sign, and it did not end well for Ahaz. God then gave a sign to the whole house of Israel to show his intention to someday rescue Jerusalem from all her enemies forever. God reveals that he would send their deliverer, and they needed to look for those signs. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Around 5 years later, in 685 BC, in Jerusalem, Isaiah prophesies again. We read this in Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Here we are informed about the special nature of this child. Firstly, he would be fully human, for unto us a child is born, natural birth. He would also be fully divine, unto us a son is given. The son was not born, the son was given by God. Finally, this God-man-king would someday rule over all of earth's kingdoms. And for those who are born again and following Jesus, then we experience him, as Isaiah says, as our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and so much more is Jesus to us. These were prophetic promises that have come and are coming to pass. Jesus is given to all mankind. Those who know him through new birth know all these attributes and know with a surety that he will return and rule and reign. Prophetic promises that have come to pass. This is an interesting scripture from Zechariah, Zechariah 2 verse 10. Shout and be glad, O daughter of Zion, for I am coming, and I will live among you, declares the Lord. Emmanuel, God with us. Then to start the fulfillment of these promises, we read them in the four Gospels at the beginning of the New Testament. I'm going to look specifically this morning at the Gospel of Luke, which gives very specific details about all the events that happened, and it reads like the wonderful story that it is. Take the time, if you can, to read this account from Luke and link it to the other gospel accounts as well. Luke 1, verses 8 to 25. The birth of John the Baptist foretold. Luke 1, 26 to 45, the birth of Jesus foretold. We're just going to look at a few verses here from Luke 1. Luke 1, 26 to 33. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." These prophetic declarations came to pass and are coming to pass. Carrying on in Luke, Luke 1, 39 to 45 recounts Mary visiting her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist, and the baby leapt within her womb when she met Mary, who was carrying the Messiah. Then in Luke 1, still 46 to 55, we read Mary's song of praise and worship. Mary is utterly overawed by all of this. Her cousin Elizabeth tells her, "Blessed are you for believing that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to you." Mary's response is to worship her God. Here are just three verses from her wonderful song of praise. These are found in Luke 1, 46 to 49. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." When Elizabeth told Mary, "Blessed are you for believing that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to you," we can receive that same encouragement too in our lives. Blessed are we when we believe, especially things that haven't come to pass yet, things that we're believing in our heart, things that we've read in the Word of God, but we are believing, so that makes us a blessed people. The wonderful story of the birth of Jesus continues in Luke, and you can very clearly see the hand of God at work. Luke 1:56 to 66 recounts the birth of John the Baptist. Luke 1:67 to 80 is Zechariah's prophecy about his son John. And then into Luke 2:1 to 7, the birth of Jesus Christ. The first few verses of Luke 2 tell us about the census that was being taken and about Joseph and Mary travelling to Bethlehem with Mary on a dusty little donkey. As we know, they have trouble finding somewhere to stay and finish up in a stable-type arrangement. Luke 2:6-7 says, "And while they were there, the time came for Mary to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." Laid to rest in an animal feeding trough. What a humble and lowly entrance into the world for the King of Kings and the Saviour of all mankind, Emmanuel, God with us. In Luke 2, the story carries on, verses 8 to 14. This is where the angel visits the shepherds. God then reveals the birth of his son to humble and lowly people. Luke 2:8-14, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" Wow, I remember as a child that whole thought just being so exciting and so overwhelming. Can you imagine how it must have been for those shepherds out in the fields? The Amplified Bible puts it this way: "Then suddenly there appeared with the angel an army of the troops of heaven, a heavenly knighthood." An army of the troops of heaven. How spectacular that must have been. And how spectacular will it be when Jesus descends with us at his second coming? He comes in response to his people calling out, "Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Not only will we see that, but we will be a part of that. And the angels who came to the shepherds to announce the birth of Jesus were just a foretaste of what is to come. Hallelujah. It was a big deal for heaven, and it's an even bigger deal for even all of mankind. Luke 2:15-20, the shepherds go to visit this child. Can you imagine how they must have felt? Luke 2:15-20. "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. The evidence, the eyewitness, the verified facts all confirm the spectacular way that God announced his son's arrival in human form on planet Earth. Emmanuel, God with us. God foretold and fulfilled exactly every last detail, just as he had prophesied hundreds of years prior that it would happen. If God did all that for Jesus' first advent, then we can absolutely rely on him for the rapture of his beloved bride and his return with her to rule and reign on earth. Jesus, our wonderful Lord and Saviour, came into the world as Emmanuel, and we will return with him. And to think that he came that first time for the sole purpose of paying the full penalty for our sins, being punished and dying in our place, he came to restore the relationship so desperately wanted by our loving Heavenly Father, the God who has created us all individually. But Jesus went to the cross. He had to do that first before that relationship could be restored. He had to be nailed to the cross. He had to die there. He had to be buried to rise again on the third day. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Paul calls this first importance. Jesus lived a selfless, sinless life, sharing the kingdom of his Father with all who would listen. He healed. He set the captives free. He provided. He saved his people from their sins. And he is still doing that today for us if we will respond to him. Praise God, Jesus was resurrected on that third day to eternal life, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. There he prays for us, and he listens for his Father's instruction, "Son, go fetch your bride, she's ready and waiting." No wonder the angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." This news of great joy is cause for celebration each and every day of our lives. Jesus came to us. As we prepare our hearts to take communion this morning, we need to reflect on three points. We need to thank God for sending Jesus. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, became flesh and dwelt among us." We need to thank God that he sent his Son who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:6. And we need to thank God for his kindness, which is intended to lead you to repent, to change your mind and inner man to accept God's will. Interesting, isn't it? And the Holy Spirit God sends through his kindness, and it's intended to lead us to repentance, which is to change our mind and our inner man to accept God's will in our lives. John 3:16-17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And this morning, I thank God, I thank Jesus for his obedience to the Father's plan. Obedience to the point of death, even death on a cross. Death for my sins, death for our sins, punishment for something he absolutely did not do. Personally, I thank the Lord for drawing me by his Holy Spirit at such a young age and giving me a tender heart towards him. I thank him for the simplicity of my testimony. It might not have the impact of being saved out of the drug scene or something awful like that, but there is still clear and powerful evidence that I have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his glorious light. Talk to the Lord this morning as you prepare to take communion. Thank him for who he is, for all he's done. If you know him and love him, then confirm this morning your commitment to him. If you're not yet born again, you haven't surrendered your life to the Lord, what a marvelous day to take that step. Surrender your life to Christ. Confess your sins. Know his forgiveness and utter acceptance of you, and walk on with your hand firmly in his and share that good news of your testimony with others. Please feel free to get in touch with us and to let us know if you've taken that step. It would be our privilege to pray with you and assist you however we can as you head out on the most amazing adventure this world has to offer. Walking and talking with the King of the entire universe, who is returning soon to take us home to be with him. May you know his close presence over this weekend. May you know the love and the joy that it is to walk with him. May he give you the opportunities to share him with others. And may you take communion this morning in remembrance of Jesus and all he's done for you. The Lord bless you.
Thank you, Sue, for sharing your testimony with us this morning. And as you said, it's not earth-shattering as some that we hear, but all the same, it's very, very powerful to hear someone's testimony of God's faithfulness and of your faithfulness to follow the Lord. And I was impacted by something you said at the very beginning about being aware of the need to be born again, and also aware that Jesus is coming again. And those are two very important things that were written all the way through your message this morning. It struck me also as you were speaking that, as you said, everything that God promised concerning the first coming of Jesus, his first advent, was fulfilled exactly according to biblical promises. And there are eight times the number of promises relating to the second coming of Jesus, and they also will be fulfilled exactly as God has said in his word. We have the assurance that because of all that was promised firstly, was fulfilled, everything that's promised to his second coming will also be fulfilled. And again, Jesu spoke about the fact that when Jesus came, there was no place for him in the inn. And I think that's the same in people's hearts today. So many people are caught up with so many other things. There's no place in the inn of their hearts, if you like, for the one who came to save us and the one who came to die in our place and to take our sin upon himself. When Jesus came in the first advent, he came as a child and he came as a lamb to be slain. And I think we can ignore a baby in a manger, and we can ignore a lamb that is being led to the slaughter, But we need to realize that we'll have no opportunity to ignore the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when Jesus comes the second time. It'll be too late to make a choice when he comes to turn our hearts over to him. So we need to make that decision now. As I said, it's easy, though sad, to ignore a child born in a manger and a lamb to be slain. But he is not coming as a lamb or as a child. He's coming again as the King of Kings. He's coming to rule and reign. He's coming to judge the nations, to judge the world and all that is in it. And we have an opportunity now to make our choice to be born again because, as Sue said, Jesus is coming soon. So can I pray for you as we close this service this morning? And I want to pray for you also for the days ahead as you may be traveling and as you spend time with your family. So will you join with me in prayer, please? Father, the cry of my heart this morning is that there will be no one who is watching or listening who will not be impacted by the word that Sue has brought about the need to be born again because Jesus is coming soon. And Father, if there's anyone who is still sitting on the fence, who is lukewarm, who's not made that choice to turn their hearts to Jesus and to be born again by the Spirit of God, I pray that you would so impact their hearts and their lives by the word this morning and by the need to respond to your word. I just pray that the Holy Spirit will bring conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment to come and the need for lives to be made right with you. So Lord, will you work on those hearts this morning? And give people the gift of repentance to be able to turn from the path that they're on to follow Jesus because time is so short. We continue to pray for family members who are unsaved. We continue to pray for our prodigals who are wandering in the pigsties of this world. And Father, again, at this time of the year, we are so aware of the need to see these ones again brought back into the kingdom of God. So, Lord, wherever they are, will you draw them by your Spirit in Jesus' name? And Father, I pray for safekeeping over everyone who is watching and listening this morning. Father, people will be traveling on busy and dangerous roads over this season, and I pray that you'd watch over them and keep them safe as they travel. I pray too for opportunities to share their testimonies, our testimonies, to share the good news of Jesus with those whom we are in contact with through this season in this time of gathering together as family and friends. And so we commit these things into your hands. We thank you for your hand upon us in the service, for the sense of your presence with us, and for the joy that we have that Jesus has come and that he's coming again and that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we give you praise and we give you honor and we give you glory in the precious and matchless name of Jesus. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you, and may you know his shalom in the season that we're in and in the days that are ahead. The Lord bless you.